Well, good morning, White Plains family. It's good to see you. Kids, if you would stick around just for a few minutes, I want you guys to hear from our guest speaker this morning. I'll dismiss you in just a few minutes. But to those of you who have a little bit more of a suntan than the rest of us, welcome back to a rude awakening this morning. It's not Florida anymore, is it? Not at all. But if you did miss last week, I want to encourage you to go online and watch last week's message. Not mine, but what Ryan Wolf shared with us last week. He's at the front end of that, so it won't take much time to get there, but definitely spend some time hearing from Ryan as he shared with us how to love God. And so definitely check that out. This message series that we're continuing to be in is called Marked by Love, and it's a preview of what's going to be coming after the first of the year on our Sunday nights. We're going to spend some time in a workshop-type environment, really trying to reimagine what church looks like. Over the past 2.5 years, life has changed quite a bit. Your family's life has probably changed quite a bit in the past 2.5 years. The community has changed quite a bit in the past 2.5 years, and this church has changed quite a bit. And so it's wise to take some time and acknowledge that and see what God might be doing in us and through us to what does church look like in light of all that. So we're gonna do that. So pencil that in to your calendars after the first of the year. Sunday nights, we're going to spend some time in a workshop environment trying to rediscover and reimagine what the biblical mission of the church is as it's applied to White Plains here in Scottsville. This morning, we're going to continue hearing from members in our congregation, and I think you would agree with me, the member that is going to be speaking this morning loves our community as much as anyone, not only in this room, but possibly in our community. She really loves our community well because she's active, involved in our community. This morning I've asked Ada Oliver to share with us, and she's no stranger to speaking to you all as she is was the chair of the pastor search team. And as I've gotten to know her over the past few months, I've noticed that she loves this community. Absolutely loves this community, and not only the community as a whole, but really individual members in it. And I think she's going to have some words of wisdom and some scripture that will really apply to our lives this morning, and I look forward to hearing from her. So Ada, would you share with us?
I told Brett all the time when y'all had to hear from me every week for weekly updates, I'm like, they're so sick of hearing from me. So maybe I've had a good break. Maybe you'll tune in for a little bit that I have to say. Following up Ryan from last week, Ryan, you did amazing. You have such a gift. And that was, I had not experienced you speaking, but I was very blessed by what you said last week. And I started getting nervous because I had to follow you up. But if you, as Gary said, if you have not gone back and listened to what Ryan had to share last week, you should. I would encourage you to do that. So Ryan spoke on the verses from Matthew chapter 22, 37 and 38 last week, which were, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And so Gary had asked me to speak on 39, which says, "A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." And so I've been thinking a lot about neighbors since he asked me about that. And man, I had some good and some bad thoughts of neighbors over the years that I've had. And some of my most favorite neighbors when I was a kid, we did not live close to anybody. There was a house across the field that I could see and then no other house in sight. But we had neighbors. You guys might remember Ina Ree Tabor. She was a sweet neighbor of mine. She made doll clothes for me all the time. And then Christine Powell, who is an artist who painted in her little sunroom on the back of her little farmhouse. And so I have really sweet memories of neighbors. And, you know, we've had my first, experience with really close neighbors was college. I lived in a dorm all 4 years. And, you know, you're sharing the bathroom with your neighbors. And cement cinder block walls. So, you know, that was a very intimate time with your neighbors. And then, you know, we've had neighbors over the years that they haven't given us their tomatoes. They've asked if they could have our tomatoes. And you know, it's just funny. Neighbors are just funny, right? But I wanted to share a story with you about a good neighbor that Brett and I had when we first moved to Plano. We moved onto a little street that our house was probably built in the 90s in a little subdivision. Most of the people that live in their homes, they built their homes there. And so we live in an older community. And we bought our house in early spring, so the trees hadn't bloomed yet. And, you know, March came and the trees started blooming, and we recognized pretty quick we had a really big dead tree in our yard. And so we didn't really know what we were going to do about it. We just, you know, bought a house. It was going to be an expensive thing to get rid of. And so it just kind of loomed there in the front yard. You know, you just would pray every time it stormed that it wouldn't blow down. But there was this lady down the street, and she was an elderly lady, and we did not know her, had not met her, and she had a tree guy in her yard one day and cutting trees. And you know, I think I remember driving by that morning being like, man, that would be nice if we could just get that taken care of today. And that tree guy came over to our house a little bit into the day and said, hey, you know, I'm working across the street down the road here, and she wants to pay for your tree to be cut down. And at first my like pride was like, no, we can do that. We, you know, thank you. But she said, she insisted, you know, no, she's pretty insistent. I'm supposed to come over here and tell you that I'm going to cut your tree down and she's going to pay for it. And so I said, okay. And so he cut the tree down that day. And of course, you know, the next day I made her some coffee cake and, you know, took some things over. And I learned a lot about Shirley was her name. And she had cancer and she's since passed away. There's new people in her home. But, you know, that was a good neighbor. She didn't know us. We just moved. So that was pretty great. But, you know, the definition of a neighbor is anyone that's living near or around you. Next door or, you know, across the street. So it's been interesting over the years to learn about neighbors. But one of the most recent experiences that I've had is business neighbors. So I've, you know, started my business up on the square, and I've lived here my whole life, and I really didn't know how many people lived life in and around the square. And I'm not just talking about the ones like me that drive in a vehicle every day with new clothes on and full belly and, you know, ready to start the day. I'm talking about the ones who slept there, you know, slept in under the gazebo or walk the streets all night. It's been interesting to meet those people, and those are considered our neighbors too. You know, it's not just the person who lives in the house next to you or the building next to you. It's anybody you're near or around. And so when Gary asked me to talk about this, you know, it's more about community than the word neighbor. But I have a couple points. You know, it's been difficult to be in situations where you don't know what to say to someone who slept on the street. You don't know what to say to someone when they hand you their drug paraphernalia and say, I need to get rid of this. You don't know what quite to do. And I didn't plan to tell you that story, but it's pretty funny. I had a lady one time hand me her paraphernalia used and just in my bare hand. And I just kind of was like, oh, okay. She said, can you get rid of this for me? And I said, I sure can. So I see a trash can standing there and I'm like, I could throw it away there, but that's not right. So what do? I get in my car and drive it down to the police station. And long story short, I'm able to get rid of it, but I'm having a conversation with Chief Darren Tabor later, and he's like, next time, call me and I'll come to you. Don't put the paraphernalia in your car and then drive away with it. That's not very smart. But you know, like, Brett and I, we've had a lot of experiences with these people. You know, they've just been on my heart. Just seeing them every day and talking to them, and I'm like, what do I do? And you know, it's just like you choose to do what you can. The best thing you know how to do in that moment. So how do you love your neighbor if you're not ready? Like if you don't know what to say or you don't know what to do. And the things I have to say for you is when you love God, it increases your capacity to love others. So when you are spending time in the Word and talking to God, you may not get the exact answer that you want to know what to do when a lady hands you her drugs, but it calms you. It gives you a little bit of a peace. You know, you over time, if you are spending time with God, it increases your capacity to love others, and it increases your ability to have peace in those situations. And that's just something I'm learning every day. But there's three ways to cultivate and strengthen community. These are just the three things that over the past couple of weeks I've just been thinking about since Gary mentioned this. But the first one is creating community for those who don't have it. We're very blessed. If you've lived in this community your whole life, you're very blessed by community. And you may not even know it if you haven't ever spent time outside of this community. This town really comes together when someone passes away or when something happens tragically. And I only recognized that, like, that didn't happen everywhere when I was in school. And, you know, my roommates, my friends from college would be like, wow, like, Scottsville's a really special place. Nobody ever did that kind of stuff for us when we were growing up. Or, and even when we lived in Bowling Green for some time, and people just didn't know when things had happened to you. They didn't just know what had gone on in your life. So creating that same sense of community for those around you that don't have that, that don't know what that is. And maybe it's been because they moved here. Maybe they, have just recently saw the beauty of this community and they've decided to be here. But and maybe it's those on the street, like I said. So how have I done that? It's learning their name. Learning somebody's name makes them feel like a part of a community. Hebrews 13, verse 2 says, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some have done this, have entertained angels without even realizing it." And that's what we talked about in our small group, is angels around us. You know, you never know who might be an angel around you. And then another way we've done this and is by sharing a meal with people. And a lot of times I can get really caught up in, like, this has got to be perfect. You know, like, I've got to have a really nice meal. I've got to invite them to my house. I've got to do all this thing, these things. But we've shared meals with people that were a cheeseburger from McDonald's or a really nice dinner at the cafe. I've also shared a tuna salad kit with a lady. You know, that's all I had at the office one day, and it's like we sat and we shared a meal together. And so in Acts 2:42, it says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer." And so sharing meals is an important thing as Christians that we do together as, you know, as a part of the church, like inviting people into that sense of community just by sharing a meal with them. And just take inventory of the ways that you've been shown community. If you've experienced something tragic and you've seen how people have showed up for you, just think about those things. And when you see people going through similar things, show up in those kind of ways for them. Gary said a couple weeks ago, you know, love seeks the best for someone else. So just think of what is best for them and what you can do. Second piece of advice is just rejoice and weep and lend with them. Rejoice with them as they turn away from sin and they embrace Scripture. Cry with them when there is pain, when they don't have their kids or they don't, there's something that they've messed up on and they're hurt. And lend a helping hand when you can. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, "It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out." And that's talking about love. Thought that was a great thing to point out the other day too, Gary. And then Romans 12:9-16 says, "Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, cling tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying." When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other, and don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. It's a really good chunk of verses there. And then my last point about community is just more about ourselves. You know, I've talked about how we share it with others, but how do you allow yourself to be a part of a community? You know, sometimes I can, if I get in my way, I can really recluse and retreat. I can go away from people. If things don't feel right, I will just kind of disappear and get to myself. But if you're going to be a part of a community, that doesn't work, right? You'll have people reaching out to you and asking about you. So the third part, you know, of how to cultivate and strengthen community in your life is to be vulnerable. And that one's hard. Being vulnerable is really hard. Putting yourself out there in uncomfortable situations. But Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I think when we make ourselves vulnerable and we step out into what community is, it opens up a lot of blessings, a lot of God's blessings and promises that you don't even really imagine that are out there until you actually feel them. You know, real relationships, real connections with people, support in times, those are invaluable things in my life that I try to not take for granted, because anytime something happens that's hard in your life, those are the things that help you heal. And, you know, we can't always just wallow. I like to wallow. Does anybody else like to wallow sometimes? You just want a good pity party. I like a good pity party every now and then. But doing that for long is just not going to help. It's not going to, you're allowing your circumstances to dictate the way you live your life is just not going to help. And so we are called as Christians to further the kingdom. And if we're just wallowing in our self-pity, that's not going to happen. So continually choosing to step into kingdom life is what real community is. And so my last thing I have to say is how we love God and how we love people, that creates the meaningful existence for today and eternity. I don't always know what's the right thing to do next, but I know that God has me, and I know that if I'm spending time with him, he's going to provide that. And so I just want to encourage you, like, this is a really special community to be a part of, and I hope some of you that have not been here very long, I hope you're seeing that, but I hope you really, you know, get to experience that while you're here, and I hope that you get to become a part of that. So I'll pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to thank you so much for Scottsville and this community that you have blessed me with and my family with. Lord, I just I pray that everyone here today can think of people in their community that they can show love to. Lord, that you can equip them, that you can build them up and give them the courage to step out in faith and share a community that they know and love with others around them. In your heavenly name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ada. Your community, your love for the community is appreciated, it's seen, and your words were challenging to us this morning. Kids, thank you for listening so well to her, and I would encourage you, based upon what you heard Ada say, find some ways this week to show your friends at school or friends you're around that you care for them. Can you do that this week? Can you find a way to share with your friend that you care about them? Super. Well, you guys are dismissed to go on up to Kids Church. And as they're leaving, I think I've mentioned this in the past, but I'll say it again. But wouldn't it be nice if when someone drove by our building or if they interacted with one of us, they would say, White Plains, that church really loves this community. Wouldn't that be nice if that our reputation in the community was one of loving the community? Do you find yourself recognizing churches based on the reputations that they have? I think it's natural, isn't it? It's probably even healthy to do that. Jesus did that, in fact. In Revelation, Jesus knew the works of the churches that were mentioned in that book, and he says in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he says, I know your works, to the churches listed there in that book. And as we approach this topic of loving the community, I've included some personal reflection questions in your notes for you to consider this week as you live life in the community. And so take a look at those questions. They're going to be on the screen behind me, but they're in your notes as well. Based on our works as a church, what do you think our reputation is in the community? Not what you think it, what you want it to be, but what do you think the community thinks of us? What is our reputation? And then also, based on our works as a church, what do you think Jesus would say to us as a church? Would he commend us or would he correct us? This morning, it's my hope that together we begin to understand what it means to love the community as a church. And Lord willing, we will walk away from this place today with a greater burden for the community around us. I appreciate the definition of neighbor that Ada gave it to us. Anyone near or around us, that's our neighbor. That's the mission field that we have. Our topic this morning definitely centers around the idea of outreach. And it's found in the Great Commission. Let's look at Matthew, Jesus' words to us in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We are to go from the comfort and security of this room, of this place, and make disciples of all nations in our community. This is the call of the church, but it's also the call of the individual Christian. We do this collectively as a church, but you also have the responsibility as a Christian to do this. This is what we've been discovering in the book of Acts, in our study in that. Jesus' final words before he ascended, we've read this often in Acts 1:8, but let's look at it again as we focus our thoughts on Scripture here. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. As a Southern Baptist church, we take this call to go to the world seriously. We take this call to share the hope of Jesus with the world seriously. If you're not aware, Southern Baptist churches like ours, we all financially contribute to something that's called the Cooperative Program. The Cooperative Program is in large part how we fund outreach outside of what we can do locally here at White Plains. In your notes, I've created a graph to show you where the money goes. If you didn't get one of these, this is what I'm referring to. They'll be on the welcome desk on your way out if you want to look at it closely. But as you can see in this graph, or on this graph, much of the funds that we contribute to the Cooperative Program goes to the International Mission Board that funds missions overseas or internationally. Others go to the North American Mission Board, and that's mission efforts here in North America. They're really creative in their names, aren't they? Very descriptive. But there's a portion that stays here in the state of Kentucky, and those funds are devoted to statewide evangelism efforts and caring for orphans here in the state of Kentucky. This is good. This is good work, White Plains family. We should continue supporting the cooperative program, and we do well by giving towards this program, but this is not all that we can or should do. This morning, we're going to discuss what the cooperative program doesn't do, and that is, namely, local outreach that we can and should do. There are many Southern Baptist churches in the world that are not as able as we are to take on local missions. Some churches are declining to a point of they don't have financial resources or volunteer manpower to do local missions and local outreach. But I am amazed at the way that God has blessed us and continues to bless us to be able to do more than simply give to the cooperative program. Speaking of neighbors near or around us, did you know that there's 23,000 people who live within 10 miles of this building? 23,000 people who live within 10 miles of our building. There's over 30 churches in that area as well. What do you think those 23,000 people think of just the general term church? Do you think about that? Do you wonder what they might be thinking, those 23,000 people? What do they think of church? What do you think those 23,000 people think of our church? If they think anything, what is it that they think of when they think of White Plains Baptist Church? You also realize that of those 23,000 people who live within 10 miles of this building, most of them don't go to any church. Most of them don't go to any church. They may claim Christianity or even claim a church as their home, but in the reality of a post-COVID world, many haven't stepped foot in a church in several years. This is our local mission field. This is our neighbor. This is in large part of why we exist as a church, to take the gospel to our friends, our neighbors, and our coworkers. The church is the only biblical organization that's been tasked with taking the gospel to the community. The church is the only biblically tasked organization to take the gospel. Now, I'm thankful for companies like Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby, but we can't expect businesses to be the ones that drive gospel conversations in our community. That's not their role. I'm thankful for groups like Crew on the college campus and FCA in the local schools, but they aren't the church. They exist to support the gospel effort of the local church, not to replace it. It is the church. It is us. It is you and I who've been tasked biblically to take the gospel to our community. And this gospel effort is the foundation of the way that we should love our community. Let's look back at John 3:16 from last week. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Think about that verse for a moment, especially in light of the definition of love that we discussed in 1 Corinthians 13 a couple of weeks ago. Love is a hard term for the world to understand, especially biblically. God doesn't love the world in the way that many in the world would want us to define love. God doesn't just accept us as we are and leave us in that sinful condition. Let me be clear. God does absolutely accept us as we are. But in his love for us, life change follows our interactions with God. God's love for us involves his working in our lives to change us from what we were to what God's ideal is for us. This goes for the community out there as much as it goes for us in here. Who comes to Christ and remains the same? No one. Who comes to Christ and remains the same? No one. This is the model of gospel love we should have for the community. We lovingly welcome people and show hospitality. Ada read verses, several of them had the term hospitality. Hospitality means welcoming strangers. We lovingly welcome people and show hospitality to those outside the church, regardless of their sin. And as they come to understand God's love for them and His desire for them, we lovingly point them to turn from their sin, just as we turn from our sin. It's a continual process for everyone. We love the community by showing them Christ. We tell them of Christ, and we must live like Christ. Martin Luther said it this way, every Christian must become Christ to his neighbor. Every Christian must become Christ to his neighbor. It is our duty, it is our responsibility as Christians to be Christ to the community around us. We shouldn't expect the community to come to church already Christ-like. We must go to the community to evangelize and disciple. So what is the definition of evangelism? R.C. Sproul defines it this way. Evangelism, in its simplest definition, is gospeling, or making the gospel known. We must make the gospel known. But we should do it with finesse and keeping in mind our definition of love from 1 Corinthians 13 so that we don't become a noisy gong in the community. There are some churches that will accept you, accept everyone as the way they are and let them stay that way. That's an error. There are some churches who only want to tell you the truth without love and without finesse. And they're that noisy gong that we see here in 1 Corinthians. Are there some churches in this community that come to mind that are noisy gongs? Sure there are. I was only here a few weeks before I found that out rather quickly, that there are some churches who have a loveless noise coming from them that the community won't listen to. We must share the truth of the gospel in love so that the community hears the beauty of what's in the gospel. In sharing the gospel, we will definitely confront the sins of the community. Sin abounds in all communities, even one as good as ours. And every community has idols. Some of those idols are national. We as Americans have American idols, but we also have Allen County idols. What do you think some of those local idols in our community are? What comes to mind that we might think would be local idols? Have you ever considered why we individually and as a community have idols? Have you thought about why do we have them? Regardless of what the community idolizes, there are reasons we are naturally drawn to worship other things other than God. Why? What are those reasons? Tim Keller says in his book, Loving the City, he says this, having entered a culture and challenged its idols, we should follow the Apostle Paul in presenting Christ to our listeners as the ultimate source of what they've been seeking. People in our community, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, they're all searching for something. We are searching for something. Everyone is searching for something. God has put that desire to seek after something greater than ourselves inside all of us to direct us towards Him. But the community misses this often and attempts to find hope, purpose, and joy in idols that are far from what God's desire for them is. The community also seeks idols. Individuals seek idols because we collectively feel the pain of sin, don't we? Even if the community doesn't call it that, we collectively feel the pain of sin and seek to find idols The community's desire to worship idols points to their need for the gospel. We should take the gospel to the community by meeting felt needs in the community. We must go to the community on their terms, not on our terms. We should love the community the way that they would feel loved for the sake of the gospel. A year ago, almost to the day, our church was given some demographic data about the community around us. This type of data is often used by churches to help us figure out ministry opportunities and get to know the community's needs around us. Here's just a few things from the report. They're on your sheet. I think they're going to be on the board too. But here are four of the biggest felt needs in this area, 10 miles from our church. The way that chart looks, the first number, the 26.3%, that's what the local need is. The second number is the U.S. need. So in this community, the biggest need, according to this report that we got, was dealing with teen and children or child problems. About 26.3% of this community deals with this felt need. And it's higher than the national 20.7%. Secondly is dealing with alcohol and drug abuse, dealing with problems in the school, and then lastly, dealing with abusive relationships. You can see those numbers there, those percentages. This information probably isn't new to you, but I think it's helpful for us to see, and there's other things on this report. But what I wanted to show you is the needs that this community feels higher than what the rest of the country feels. Those are things that we should pay attention to. Those are things we as a church should look at as we desire to love the community by meeting their felt needs. When you look at a report like this and you know our community, what do you see? What do you feel? What do you acknowledge? One thing that I see is that there is real opportunity for ministry here in Allen County, here in Scottsville, here within 10 miles of this building. And the good news is our church isn't alone. Like I said, there's at least 30 churches within 10 miles of here. We're working together to collectively meet the needs of this community. And thankfully, there's churches that are actively trying to love those who are dealing with alcohol and drug abuse. Some of those churches are known for that, aren't they? They have a reputation of caring well or attempting to. That's hard work. All of this is hard work, but that need is being met or attempted to being met. We've began using data from this report to help us love the community as well. I'm sure you're aware of our attempt to love the community by feeding our high school athletic sport teams at least once during their season. It is our desire that student athletes in our community know that God loves them. It is our desire to let the student athletes in our community know that we as a church love them and that we are pulling for them. Many of us, if you remember back, we were in sports in our high school years, weren't we? And if you remember, those were moments of very high joys and very low heartbreaks. At least it was in my sports. We want to insert the gospel and the church into the drama of life for those high school students through those highs and lows of sports. We want them to know that there's a church just down the road that loves them and will lovingly share the gospel with them when they may need it the most. Also, you may remember that we just recently sent every school staff member a prayer card and a gift card for coffee. There is a tremendous burden placed on our school staff to care and educate the children in our community. And generally, those who go into teaching and education have a deep love for kids that is needed for students to thrive. But that love for kids can quickly get exhausting because problems of the community find their ways into the classroom. Do you know that every problem that sin causes finds its way into the classroom? Every one of them find their way there. And in giving these prayer cards and coffee gift cards, we desire to let our school staff know that we love them and that we're here to support them through prayer. The school system is a large employer in the community, and if we as a church can show the gospel and we can show gospel love to school staff and student lives, that God will continue to bless that and use that in ways that we may never know. By doing these types of things, we've tried to begin to position our church in the minds of our community as a church that loves the community. By dealing with these two felt needs of dealing with teen and child problems and problems in school. As a church, we're seeing this to become part of our reputation in the community. And we want to be a church that loves the community by loving those in our schools, both staff and student. This is not all the ways that we want to show love to this community, but it's a start in this post-COVID world. And we do this not for the glory of White Plains. We do this for the glory of God. I don't know of any other churches in our area that are actively attempting to love the community through the schools in the ways that we are trying to do that. For the glory of God, we're trying to fill the gaps in the collective church's local outreach into the community. Now, there's some encouraging things in that report that we received a year ago that makes ministry in our community meaningful. Take a look at your notes, and there's going to be some on the slides here. But it's important in this community for those for folks to find a good church and to find good spiritual teaching. One of the wonderful things about our community here in Allen County is that there is still value in finding a good church. It's almost twice as important to those in our community than it is in the rest of the U.S. It's also important, it seems like, for folks to they want to find good teaching. So as I look at a report like this, I see a couple of things that we must do. We must continue to love those in our schools as a local ministry outreach and even expand what we can do for the gospel in those areas. And we must have a good reputation as a church with good teaching. God will surely bless our gospel efforts if we continue in this strategy. There's one more thing, though, I want to show you from this report. You know this. Our community is growing. Take a look at this map. This map shows the projected growth of this area. Scottsville and Allen County are poised for growth, and we are in an area of the state that is seeing population growth, especially around our building. Up to 10% of growth is right here around us. With population growth comes real opportunities for ministry. And we must be ready to love them as they come, because they don't know the history and the reputation of this community. There's a lot of new folks that don't know how great a community we live in. So we must go to them and show them the great love of the gospel in addition to the great love that we have here in Allen County. It is my hope that through our Sunday night workshops, after the first of the year, that we're going to relaunch our local outreach team to lovingly take the message of the gospel to the community. We will work together to give it a solid mission and a vision that Jesus would be proud of, and that the community around us would see that we are a church that loves the community. We are in a season of relaunching as a church, and we've relaunched our Sunday nights this fall already and our Wednesday night programs. Relaunching our local outreach team this spring will be a strategic step in proclaiming the gospel and meeting felt needs in our community. We will use information from this report to help us to continue to map out a strategy to love the community around us. But until then, we shouldn't just sit and wait. We should make a point to be a part of our Sunday night workshops in the spring or in the winter as we reimagine what ministry looks like in a post-COVID world, but you can love the community right now. We don't need a strategy. I've said this before. We don't need a strategy to show love to our neighbors. Ada gave us plenty to consider and to act on, and I'm thankful for her words. But these workshops at the first of the year will help give you a voice to help us plan and implement a ministry and local outreach. I'll invite the worship team to come back. And as we close this morning, let's worship God, the God of this community. Let's worship God together. Let's pray for those in this community. And let's search our hearts to see how God might be moving within us to share the gospel with those who are outside these walls. God loves Scottsville. God loves Allen County. God loves those within this community. And He has placed us here to reach this community. Let's pray. God, we worship You this morning. You are a God of second chances. You are a God who sees the sin in the world, the sin within our hearts, and You offer forgiveness through Jesus. And we worship You for being a God who loves us and gives us second chances. Lord, we pray for those in our community, those who don't know You, or those who know of You but don't interact with You like they used to. Lord, would You bring a desire to know You? Would You give this community a heart to be open to the things of You? And would You place us as White Plains Baptist Church in front of those in our community to share the hope and the gospel message that You are a God who loves and God who forgives, and a God who moves us from where we are to where You would want us to be. Thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.